1 Kings 15. Would you go there with me in the Word of God? 1 Kings chapter number 15. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Now, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father. That's not a good thing. The best thing to do if you have a bad father is not to be like him, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, how many of you glad for the nevertheless is in the Bible? For David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem? Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Let the church say amen. Amen. Our Father, I pray, God, that you'd help me. I pray that as your vessel, you'd cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. We know that the devil is busy. He doesn't like what goes on in local New Testament Bible-believing churches. And we like for him not to like it. So we're asking you that you'd help us, that while we please you, you'd bind him. Keep him from interfering. Give the people of God something to leave here with and start living right now. As your vessel, cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. And if somebody in the building is not saved, I pray today that one would come to a saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I'd like you to loan me your ear and your heart this morning. The nation of Israel was and is God's chosen people. They didn't choose God. God chose them. And he chose them for a purpose. He revealed himself to them so that they would reveal him to the world. And by the way, that's not just Israel's purpose. That's yours too. If you know God, you ought to be glad about it. I'm not talking about know that he exists. I'm not talking about know that he created. I'm not talking about know that he's up there somewhere. I'm not talking about know that he's supreme. I'm talking about knowing him in a personal way. And there's only one way to know God in a personal way, and that is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Listen to me. Paul didn't say, I know of him. He said, I know him in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Aren't you glad that you know him? Israel knew him, and they were supposed to make him known. We understand after the reign of Solomon, the nation of Israel was divided into the northern and southern kingdoms. The northern kingdom represented by 10 tribes, the southern kingdom represented by 2 tribes, and a king that would sit in each kingdom. We understand that in the northern kingdom, all the kings, all of them that sat on the throne in the northern kingdom were evil kings. What a sad statement to make, that everyone that was leading in the nation of Israel in the northern kingdom was a wicked king. What a shame. The southern kingdom was not made up of all evil kings. Some were good and some were bad. In 1 Kings chapter 15, we have come to the end of King Rehoboam. He did not live right. And by the way, living right is a choice. You don't do right because your mama does right. You don't do right because your daddy does right. You don't do right because of what family you're born in. You do right because you decide to do right. And there's nobody in the building that cannot decide to do right. Wouldn't it be something if everyone that was born again by the Spirit of God would make up your mind you're going to decide to do right? God doesn't want you to be somebody else. God doesn't want you to do what somebody else does. God wants you to do right. Rehoboam didn't do right, and here comes his son, Abijah. He doesn't do right either. 3 years reigned he, verse number 2, in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And notice what verse number 3, he walked in all the sins of his father. And by the way, that's not an excuse. My father did. By the way, we need some cycle breakers in this world today who will determine, I don't come from a good family. I don't have a good background. I'm characterized by a bunch of generational curses. They've already predicted me to fail, but there's a God in heaven that can make something out of me when the world says I'm nothing. And I'm glad that you can come from a bad mama and a bad daddy and still live a good life. But that's not what Abijam did. But God was gracious to him and merciful. He didn't live right, but for somebody else's sake, God gave him a little light. Somebody say amen. For somebody else's sake, unless you think it's not fair, be careful, because you might be living off somebody else's blessing. And you might be in here today not because of you, but because of somebody else. And God might be protecting you from his anger, not because of you, but because of somebody else. There was a man by the name of David. And we'll not go back and look at all the beginnings of David, but what I tell you, somebody started right. David started right in the backyard, watching over his daddy's sheep. He started right, just doing the right thing. He started right, like with the Spirit of God on him. He started right with the heart after God. He started right with the right cause, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven. He started off right, and God used him in a great way. The Bible calls him the king. The Bible calls him God's servant. The Bible calls him the sweet psalmist of Israel. And I'm glad that in a day where everybody wanted to do wrong, David decided to do right. All the days of his life. But the scripture makes a statement in verse 5 that jumped out at me. Save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Now let's think about what the Bible says. He did right. Right enough to save somebody else from the wrath of God. Right enough to still manage to secure light in a land long after he was gone. I'd say that's a whole lot of right. But then it's like the Bible puts a clause. Save. That's another word for except. Except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Now listen, was David a sinner? In Psalm 53, he didn't just say, I was a sinner once I messed up. He said, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You didn't become a sinner when you started sinning. You started sinning because you're a sinner. Amen. We are all born in sin. We are all born shaping and bent towards iniquity. There is none that doeth good. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So let me make it very clear that when it comes to the matter of your Uriah the Hittite, that was not the only time David sinned. As a matter of fact, I remember in 1 Chronicles 21 where this same David stood up and numbered the people, and his servant said, King, you shouldn't do that. It wasn't that counting was a bad thing. It was simply that numbers should not have mattered to David, because they weren't winning the battle because of how many they had. They were winning the battle because of who they belonged to. And I'm telling you, he said, King, you don't need to count. You don't need to count on people. You need to count on Almighty God. David sinned in 1 Chronicles 21, but God didn't mention 1 Chronicles 21. So this matter of Uriah the Hittite was not the only time that David sinned, but it is the one that God chooses to mention when he says he did right, except for this. There was something unique about this sin of David. It wasn't a fling. It wasn't a moment. It wasn't a brief blunder. Everybody has them. I mean, if you're not a sinner, you're not alive. Everybody's a sinner. I mean, everybody here messes up. But God said, I asterisk this sin of David. I asterisk this item of David. David's long gone. And watch this now. Long after he's gone, he is still helping somebody else have a light in the midst of darkness. But that's not the only thing he's doing long after he's gone. He's not only helping somebody in the midst of darkness, but long after he's gone, he's still hurting his own reputation and testimony. So listen to me. The good living of David kept on flowing after David was dead, but the bad living of David kept on flowing too. And God says there was something unique about this item in David's life, that I'm still talking about it, that I'm still mentioning it, that even in a verse that I have written to uplift and to commend David, I still got to put that clause in. There was a segment in David's life that was characterized by such gravity and failure. God says, it's the only thing about him where he didn't do right, save in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. I want you to loan me your ear this morning, because I'm going to preach this message by way of this question. What's the matter with you? The matter. That area of your life you won't let go of. Not a passing moment. Not a brief blunder. Not a oops, not a my bad. I'm talking about I'm gonna and you ain't gonna stop me. I'm talking about I've made up my mind and you ain't gonna change me. No. See, the matter can be with you even while you're in church. The matter can be something you do even from the choir loft. The matter can be something you do and still be in the ministry. The matter can be something you do and still be a good student in Bible college. The matter can be something you do while you still teach a Sunday school class. The matter can be something you do and you still have your marriage. The matter can be something you do and you're not kicked out of the house. The matter can be something you do and people still have generally good things to say about you. But the matter is something that God marks down. I'm not saying God didn't forgive David. God doesn't know how not to forgive. He said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this is not a message today to tell you that God hadn't forgiven your sin. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm glad that God forgives sins. And once you get forgiven by the sweet blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm telling you, God is a forgiving God. But I'm asking you a question. What's the matter with you? That area you won't get right. That junk you won't get out your trunk. That habit you won't let go of. What's the matter? Thank you. Teach that baby early. That baby not only a shouter, that baby shouted at the right time. Is that a Duplessis? Oh, that's a green. A green baby. Well, that baby ain't as green as you think he is. What's the matter with you? Oh, Pastor, I don't really want you to preach on the matter. Yeah, because you don't intend to get it right. Pastor, I don't really like these kind of messages. I come to church to get my shout on. Listen to me now. If you can shout in sin, it ain't a real shout anyway. I'm all for lifting up hands, but not if they're not holy. Don't get quiet on me. I'll stretch this thing out to a four-week series. I'm trying to tell you, listen, we need to quit playing games with God. I said, we need to quit playing games with God. You can come up in here and look good to everybody. You can put your face on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and you can make yourself look however you want to look. You can write your own reputation. You can invent your own biographical sketch. You can convince people that you love Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, as much as they think, as much as you say, as much as it appears, that doesn't change the matter. I said the matter. Somebody today has got to face the matter. Listen to me, because if you don't face the matter will face you. What is it, man? What's the matter with you? Huh? Pornography? Cigarettes? Alcohol? Lust? Gambling? You tithe, but you play lottery too. Huh? What's the matter? What's the matter? Pastor, don't start calling out my sins. I couldn't call them out all if I wanted to. Listen, I'm so convinced of the competency of the Holy Ghost of God that he's already told you about it before I even listed it. I'm here to tell you, and I'm so convinced of the competency of the Word of God that you knew it before you got here. Listen to me, you've been to the altar, but you still got the matter. You've prayed about it, but you still have the matter. You've got other things right, but you still have the matter. You made New Year's resolutions. You turned over a new leaf. You've been through some rehabilitation program. You're a whole lot better than what you used to be. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, what's the matter with you? What is it, young person? Your music? Your friends? What is it, young lady? That old sorry boy you dating? The matter. Huh? Pride? Listen. You got to deal with the matter. Your matter, I got to deal with my matter. Come on. God's bragging on this man. God said he did right in every area of his life, save for the matter. Now, in order to investigate the matter, we have to go back to where the matter occurred. Let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 11, and let's look, spend our entire time in this chapter. Now, I'm not going to preach long on it, because if I have to preach long, then you're not ready to get rid of the matter anyway. Now, listen, I'm going to move quickly if you'll listen quickly, but I want to ask you by the end of the message, what's the matter with you? What's the matter? And by the way, it doesn't have to be some gross moral sin. It doesn't have to be some skeleton in the closet. It just has to be an area that's off limits to God. It has to be an area where I'm not going to change. It has to be an area where I've put no Holy Spirit allowed. It's an area that's non-negotiable. It's the thing I never pray about at the altar. It's the thing I never bring up to God. It's the segment in the house where God it cannot go into. It's the corridor that's marked off limits. I'm saying it's the matter. So how did David end up in the matter? Number one, sinful decisions. Very quickly, 2 Samuel 11. You've got to listen fast so I can preach accordingly. Sinful decision, number one, 2 Samuel 11. When kings go forth to battle, last phrase, David tarried still at Jerusalem. Sinful decision number one, unwise lingering. That means he stayed somewhere he didn't belong. Somebody help me preach. Amen. My mama said, don't wake up at everybody's house. You know what she was saying? We're not better than everybody, but there's some people going to spend the night here where you can't spend the night there. Somebody help me preach. Because when you're in the wrong place, you're bound to do the wrong thing. Sinful decision, David. When kings go to war, go to war. I said, when kings go to war, go to war. And let me say this to Christian people. When Christian people go to church, go to church. I said, when church is open, go to church. Well, what's the big deal? The message may not be about me. What's the big deal? I've had a long week. What's the big deal? One service doesn't matter. Well, you asked David if missing one war really mattered. It was an unwise lingering. And as a result of an unwise lingering, he had an unintended look. The Bible says, verse 2, it came to pass in an even time, David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. Listen to me now. He didn't go looking for that woman. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I'm here to tell you, when you're in the wrong place, you're liable to see the wrong thing. Now, there are some things that flash in front of our faces that we didn't intend to see, that we didn't want to see. Some pop-ups on the phone, some visuals in the mall, some sights on the television, some commercials that are bad news. I don't blame David for seeing it. I do blame him for staying home. The unwise lingering led to an unwanted look, and the unwanted look led to unhealthy lust. Seeing it when you can't control is not bad. But staring at it after you see it is. What's the matter? Well, Pastor, I spotted something I shouldn't have spotted. Well, that'd be a good thing to talk to God about. God, I just saw something I shouldn't see. But have enough spiritual sense to turn your head. Amen. Don't get quiet on me. That's an unhealthy lust that led, watch this now, to an uncontrollable longing. I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have it. That's why you need to be careful who you hang around. Because while you hang around them, you might hear music you shouldn't hear. And by hearing music you shouldn't hear, something in your flesh likes music you shouldn't hear. I know that's deep, so I'm going to say it again. Something in your flesh likes something you shouldn't have. Something in your flesh likes something you shouldn't hear. I'm going to open the curtain right now, and I'm going to reveal to you something about pastors that you never knew before today, but it's going to help you not think so ignorantly. Do you realize that there are people that do right not because their flesh does not have an appetite for wrong? Some of you missed that. I'm trying to tell you, do you realize that this preacher man could find an appetite for the wrong kind of music if I fed it? So stop looking up in pulpits going, he just loves God because that's all he know how to do. He don't like sin. He don't like bad music. He don't like, listen to me, your flesh likes just as much bad and so does mine too. But the truth of the matter is, I don't need to be flinging nothing in front of it, because the more I let it lust, the more it longs. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. What you been looking at that you shouldn't have? Huh? What you been listening to that you shouldn't hear? Where you been hanging out? Well, Pastor, I just got in the car. They didn't tell me they were going there. I thought we were going somewhere else, and we did. But on the way back home, we stopped somewhere that I didn't know we were going. And next thing you know, I ended up somewhere where I didn't plan to be. I ended up doing something I didn't plan to do. I ended up in the middle of something that I didn't plan to be a part of. Oh, Pastor, you ought to bow your head right there and say, oh, God, I didn't want to be here. Oh, God, I don't belong here. Oh, God, this is not good for me. If you get me out of this place, you get me out of this party, you get me out of this car, bless God, I'll never ride with that joker again. Well, Pastor, I'm not really enjoying this. Good. You should not enjoy preaching on the matter. Neither should I. Sinful decisions, number 2. Sneaky deception. Pastor, how do I know if I have the matter? Well, if you got into it by sinful decisions, it's the matter. And now if you are getting further into it by sneaky deception, it's the matter. What do you mean sneaky? 3A, David sent and inquired. Curious inquiry. Now, let me ask you a question. If you see something you shouldn't see, you like something you shouldn't like, and you know you shouldn't like it, what in the world are you doing asking more questions about it? Huh? Now, if you know it's bad, why do you need more information? Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. If somebody is going to a bad party where a Christian doesn't belong, and you hear about them going to the party, what in the world you need to know what time the party is? Now I'm preaching now. I worry about Christian people say, no, I don't believe in that, but when y'all going? I don't hang out there, but how was it? Watch this now. That's not something I do, but who else is attending? See, when you start inquiring about stuff that doesn't belong to you, you are setting yourself up to get it. Come on. Listen. Don't get mad when you're stuck in that timeshare presentation for 3 hours. You know why they asked you. You've been in one before. Huh? And you didn't go to buy it. You went to get the discount you get for listening to it. Now you're frustrated. I told you I don't want to buy it. Stop asking me questions. That's what we do. We get paid to ask you questions. Now listen. If you didn't want to be bombarded with a bunch of nonsense, why'd you sign up? Preach, pastor. Who is she? Why are you asking about her? You have no business asking about a naked woman.
Come on, preach it.
Where you get that from? Huh? You ask some kind of question? Where you get that from? I saw you posted on Instagram that you were there this past weekend. What kind of deal did you get to go? Wow. So you ask some questions, you have no business asking questions. It's bad enough you saw it. Now you're trying to figure out how to get it. I'm talking about the matter.
Come on,
man. Pastor, we've been at Cobo all week long. I thought you were going to give us a rah-rah message. I'm trying to make sure you're still in church by next Cobo.
Yes.
How about that? I'm trying to make sure I'm still here. Because I'm telling you what, there are men of God who are great administrators, they're great pulpiteers, they're great leaders, they're great people, but they get out of the ministry not because 99% of their life is bad. Some of them get out of the ministry because they're dealing with everything else but the matter. Curious inquiry. Who that? One said, listen to the answer. Don't pay attention to none of the answer but these two words, the wife. Not one strike, two strike, three strikes. The wife. Not yours, somebody else. Okay. Does anybody see God's trying to give David a way out? There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. This is written in the New Testament. David's sin is in the Old Testament. God is telling us in the New Testament, David did not have to sin. Even when he first put his foot in the door, I was trying to give him a chance to get out. Even when he first saw her, I was like, look, you on the roof, she's on the roof, she gonna stay on the roof, you get off the roof, dummy. Listen to me now, somebody gotta make a decision. I said, somebody gotta make a decision. When me and my girlfriend, we fell into sin. You can't both fall if one of you decide to do right. Somebody gotta make a decision. Somebody gotta make a decision. If both of y'all up on the roof, somebody got to get off the roof. No, you stay up there. You like it. You know you're on a diet. And why in the world you turn in Krispy Kreme? You know you're on a diet. Well, I couldn't help it. The car just turned. I'll buy that. Mine turns. My car just turned. That light's on, the car just turned. So now you're in there. Mistake. But you didn't have to buy a dozen. You could have bought one and got out of there. Damage control. So God's trying to help him. Who is she? She's somebody else's wife. You can still get out, Dave. You can still get out. You can still get out. You done already lusted. You didn't stop. Now you're on the phone. Find out who she is. Well, she's somebody's wife. Oh, man. You can get out. No. He goes from curious inquiry to what I call coveting insistence. I want her. The Bible said he took her, verse 4. He took her. I want it. It's one thing to hear it in somebody else's car. It's another thing to download it. It's one thing to spot it on a commercial. It's another thing to look it up on the internet. It's one thing to give money to what you thought was an innocent raffle. It's another thing to stand in line for a lottery ticket. Somebody help me preach. Come on. It's one thing to go to a party and slip up and drink something you shouldn't drink. It's another thing to be a faithful member of the ABC store. It's one thing to lose your temper and say words you shouldn't say. It's another thing to listen to rhetoric with those words all the time. What's the matter? What's the matter? Well, I'm pretty good. I think David was too. I've done pretty well. I'm 3 times a week church. I go to visitation. I'm in the choir. Bless your heart. But you singing 5 songs on a Sunday is no excuse for that one worldly song you listen to in your car. It doesn't cancel one. One doesn't cancel. If anybody's good could have canceled out the bad, it's David's. But long after he's gone, Kings 15:5, God says, the matter. Committed immorality. Now, he sleeps with her. David, you could have gotten out. But you know what the matter is? The matter is, what I want so bad, I'll sneak to have. Where you been? You don't want nobody to know. What you got? You don't want nobody to see. What you do? You don't want nobody to find out about. What you been deleting and erasing? The matter. Number 3. I need to move. Selfish destruction. Listen, let me tell you what the matter will have you doing. Killing everything but it. Somebody help the pastor preach now. The matter will have you wiping out everything but the matter. Come on. Now notice the calculated agenda of David. The matter had you calculating, scheming. And David sent to Joab. Get me him. Now that I got his wife, I got to do something with him. See, if you won't get rid of the matter, you got to get rid of somebody else. You can't keep both. You can't have Bathsheba and Uriah. Something got to give. And I, by the way, he's a good man. One of the best men I got in my army. But I'm willing to wipe out the best man in my army if I want something that doesn't belong to me. So listen, some of you kids are willing to ruin relationship with your parents over some sorry friend. Some of you men are willing to lose your godly wife to put up with your nonsense over some pornographic habit. I'm telling you, some of you willing to lose your whole future over some weekend fling. Some of you are willing to lose your attraction to your wife over that time you spend on that wretched beach. No wonder she's not attracted to you. You have too many replacements. And you're calculating them, figuring out how you can do it. A calculated agenda, which led, I'm moving quickly, to a careless attitude. Oh, bring him here. And what's going on with him? Hey, by the way, go down, wash your feet. Uriah, go take care of yourself. Uriah was so loyal, he wouldn't even go to the house. I'm not even going to spend time with my wife when my kingdom is at war. But David doesn't care. Playing with him, talking lies right in front of the man's face. That's what selfish destruction will do. Listen to me now. In a conceited approach, he's going to set this man up. Verse number 10, camest thou not from the journey when you didn't go down to your house? Talking like he's concerned about it. The matter have you talking to people like you're really concerned about it. You're not concerned about them. You're trying to see how close they are to getting to your matter. How you doing? What's your weekend been? Hey, Mom, just called to check on you. How things going? What you been doing? Oh, I'm out shopping for 3 hours. Ding, 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 ding. Got to clear house for 3 hours. You ain't concerned about your mama. You just want to find out when she's coming home. Hey, honey, how you doing? Take your time at work, honey. No problem here. I got everything going on. No problem. You just come home when you're ready. I'll clean the house, take care of everything. You ain't worried about making it easy on your wife. You just want the coast to be clear so you can do dirt longer. I'm talking about the matter. cold blood of the annihilation. 14 through 24. We don't have time. Set this man up. Cold blood. What do you mean? Give him a letter with his own death warrant. And by the way, give it to him knowing he's so loyal he won't open it. Hey, Uriah, take this note and give it to the generals, not knowing that the note says kill him. Put him in the front of the battle and let him die. That's cold-blooded. That's cold. It's a man after God's own heart. What are you saying, Pastor? I don't care how much you love Jesus. You can fall. You can fall. But you don't have to fall. He's trying to give you a way out. And if you pass on multiple exits, it'll be long before there aren't any. Cold-blooded. Cold-blooded. Look, when you get some time, look at Jonah. And look at them fellas on the boat. They are throwing off everything on the boat. Good stuff. Now, if I'm a sailor on that boat, I can guarantee you what I got on there. Fried chicken. I guarantee you I'm going on a long voyage. I got fried chicken. Macaroni and cheese. I've got banana pudding on that boat. I'm telling you, if I'm going a long distance, we were driving a couple, Tyreek and Deontay and I, we were driving down the other day on the road down 85. We don't normally go 85 to that part of Asheville, but because of the traffic, we went 95, 85. And I just remember, right off this road in Durham is Jimmy's. Jimmy them got good banana pudding. I looked at the boys. Y'all want banana pudding? They looked at me. Amen, amen. It was confirmed on two or three witnesses. We pulled off to the side. We walked in there. We'd already eaten. We'd stopped at Wendy's, but there's banana pudding right there. Come on. We walked in there and got that banana pudding. Three. We only mistake, we should have got two each. Because Google didn't bring me back 85. Came back 81. But up on 81, they got that Sonny's barbecue. Yes. So we stopped there. My wife liked them peach pies. I liked that fried chicken. Yes. Tyreek liked them chicken tenders. Deontay liked it all. We stopped and got it. Got us some chicken. Yeah. That's what's on my ship if I'm sailing. But look what they're throwing off. The good stuff. Guess what they're not throwing off? Jonah. Be careful. Let me tell you what the matter will do in your life. It'll have you clear out everybody good while keeping the one thing that's bad. Sacrifice your relationship with your parents, a good church. I remember a couple years ago sitting down and telling me, well, we're going to have to leave the church because the church isn't teaching us right and they're not helping our marriage right and we want to grow right. And here we are just crying over the couple. Oh, poor couple. We don't want to lose them. Vital partner. I just thought, man, they're walking away. Years ago, I found out they were already separated, already filing for a divorce, and they lied on the church because they had already made their decision. They didn't leave the church because the church couldn't get the matter right. They left the church because they wanted to keep the matter, and as long as they were in the church, we keep preaching against the matter. So they left the church trying to save the matter and lost their marriage. So you'll flush out good stuff. Flush out good stuff. Don't talk to your parents, talk to your friend. Don't have time for your family, got time for everything else. Service too long, but the video game not. Can't give to nothing, but can go on all these fancy things and spend all this money at these restaurants. And I'm broke. Can you help give towards the teenagers? Can you help give towards the missionary? Can you help give towards a family that's had somebody pass away? Can you pick up the check at dinner? No, I'm broke. I can't tell by what you posting on Facebook, Instagram. Look like you going everywhere. I mean, I would have thought you could about finance the whole building program. Much money I see you spending on nonsense. Truth of the matter is, the matter will have you spending money you can't spend, and yet you won't give it to good stuff. I bet if you go out of town, you'll make sure somebody gets your trash. I bet if you go out of town, you'll make sure somebody check on your house. I bet if you go out of town, you make sure somebody stop by and feed your dog. I bet if you go out of town, you make sure that somebody check your mail. I bet if you go out of town, I bet you'll make sure that you do the proper things before you leave. Did you leave your tithes and offering? You made preparation for everything else. I think I'm preaching. All of us.
I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching the word of God to all of us. How do you stay married for 53 years? You don't harbor matters. No, you ain't looking at two perfect people. But they decided we're not going to have the matters in here. Two more. And I'm going to quit, I think. Depends on how you act. Sinful decisions. You could have gotten out. Sneaky deception. Well, now you're trying to find a way to stay in. Selfish destruction. Now you're moving everybody out of the way so you can have it. Number four, stubborn determination. Uriah's dead. Oh, really? Yeah, he's out the way. Watch this. The coast is clear. Go get him, man. There's no resistance. There's no resistance. That's why some people, if anybody's in their way for doing right, they just move to a spot where they're not in the way. Because it's much easier to do what you want to do when you don't have to cross nobody.
That's right.
Especially the Holy Ghost. The bad part about it is you can't go nowhere where he's not. So you can take a trip, get away from the preacher. Till you check into the hotel. God up there. You say, thank God I done got out of town. I'm so getting away from the Lord, getting away from the Lord. You turn into the hotel, you look up there at the valet parking, here come the Holy Ghost. May I take your car? How'd you get here so fast? I'm everywhere. He's dead. Mission accomplished. Go get her. Callous perspective. Now listen to me. I thought about this about 3 seconds ago. So I won't tell you. Under any other circumstance that Uriah had died, David would have mourned him.
Right.
Who doesn't mourn over a good friend dying? But he is so deep in the matter, he doesn't even stop to grieve Uriah's death because he's the one that has orchestrated it. Here's how you know that you're stuck on the matter. When people that used to matter to you don't matter anymore because the only thing that matters is the matter. So now you make your mom cry and you don't flinch. Your wife is brokenhearted and it doesn't even faze you. Your pastor's preaching his guts out. You have sleep. Because you listen, you're married to the matter. You don't have no room to be grieving about somebody you love hurting. You got what you want. And it's right where we live. Did you hear about what's the name guy? Oh, Ann, that don't bother me. I got the matter. Go get her and bring her here. Husband dead. Somebody worry about the funeral. I ain't even going to the funeral. Everybody, listen. Everybody else is grieving. Everybody else is sad. David's glad. That's what the matter have you do. The matter will have your emotions mixed up about the wrong stuff. You'll be rejoicing over sin and grieving over right. Somebody help me preach. Callous perspective and continued practice. She became his wife. Pregnant. Bear my son. Hey, David, you way past oops now. No. You ain't slip up and fall, buddy. You changed the sheets, bought a sleep number bed, lit the candles, turned on relaxing music, and intended a lot of. You are lying in sin. You didn't fall. You have scheduled an appointment. You got a pager that's going to buzz when your table's ready. And listen, you're still doing everything you were doing. Up there singing in the choir like nothing happened. Just singing the songs. Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? Everybody and their mama have seen what you did. You, the matter got you so mixed up, you ain't even smart enough about what to tell. Bad enough people sin, then they take pictures of it. That's going from being sinful to being borderline stupid. Uh-oh. Intellectually challenged. Sound a little better. Unwise. Continued practice. 9 months. Doing this thing. Every day. How do you lie beside that woman every day? How do you keep listening to it? Keep going there. Keep wearing it. Didn't start off that way. It started off sneaking. Now you don't got no shame. For some of you, the matter might be your clothing. That can be a matter. Yes, it can.
Well, God looks at the heart.
Okay, that's what the Bible says. And it never said he can't see everything else. I get sick and tired of people quoting the verse. The Bible said God only looks at the heart. No, it didn't. It said that's all that man can only see the outside. God can see the heart. That is not a verse saying that outside doesn't matter. Study the word of God. And if you don't study it, stop trying to teach it. You don't have to know everything about everything, but it's okay to admit it. Up there arguing stuff. Well, I believe. How you gonna believe something you never studied? Good gracious Allah. Well, I heard what's the name say, and Joyce Meyer said, I don't care what she said. I'd rather hear a donkey talking about what God said than some preacher. We need to listen to the word of God. And when I start preaching something not the word of God, you need to listen to me. That's right. It ain't right because I said it. It's right because God said it. Punishing results. The baby died. Amnon died. Absalom died. Messed up the kingdom. And a perpetual reminder. Amen. There's a lot to think about David, isn't it? Good stuff. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Think about David. But you can't talk about David without bringing up Bathsheba. The matter of Uriah. It followed him. Followed him. And it'll follow you. Follow you. God help us. In these last days, the devil, I shouldn't say, I mean, because he was crafty when it wasn't nothing but two people. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? How often do you hear people say, oh my goodness, the devil is so busy. He was busy in the garden. He was busy as Lucifer in heaven. We act like he's come up with all kinds of new ways. Oh, my goodness, the devil is so wild. Same agenda. Just gullible candidates. I'm fighting the devil every day, just like you are. Don't you think the pastor's not fighting the flesh? Don't you think the pastor doesn't get tempted? But I ain't going to help him. I am not going to help him. I never believed in playing against somebody and helping them.
Amen.
No. Ain't that right, Brother John? You don't help your opponent, do you? We play golf together. We laugh at each other. I hit the ball in the water. I kind of see his face kind of go, praise the Lord. I said, you glad that ball went in the water? No, Pastor, I'm not glad it went in the water. Right over there, that's where it dropped. Bloop. You don't help your opponent win. God's trying to help you get out of this. Come on. He's trying to help you get out of this. And the last thing you need to do is get you some ungodly people. Or some carnal wannabe ungodly people, some saved people that act like they never got saved, to be standing on the sideline and say, the matter ain't that bad. The matter ain't that bad. The matter ain't that bad. Everybody got the matter. I mean, what's so bad about the matter? Pastor make the matter seem so bad, but good gracious, you can still love Jesus and have the matter. David, long gone, they still talking about the matter. Don't let people downplay these. You know why they're telling you that? Because they got the matter. Get you around somebody who loves God and say, well, you need to get that mess out of your life. Somebody loves you enough to say, I don't like the way you are. You're changing right in front of me. You can't even see it. Ever since you hooked up with her, you done broke loose from God. Your doctrine's changing. Your theology's messed up. Your posts are questionable. Your language is shifting. You're not all, you ain't gang banging for the devil. You're just part-time. All right, David. We get to spend the rest of our lives till Jesus comes talking about your matter. Sad, isn't it? This morning. It's not his that I'm talking about. The question this morning is simple. What's the matter with you? Father, help us. All of us. If you're serious about God, I want you to get up. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. I'm not trying to make you feel like a bad person, but we have to be honest with God. The matter. God, help us. God, help me never to be dismissive and permissive. Help me not to play with you, God. Can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be burned? Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Make no provision for the flesh. Abstain from all appearance of the flesh. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Learn not the way of the heathen. Make no friendship with an angry man, lest thou be like him. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. What is God saying? He's saying, don't just get rid of it, get rid of the pathway to it. That's what he's saying. Pastor, I know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? I know I'm saved. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Put your hand down. Number two, Pastor, I'm saved, but God spoke to me. Would you raise your hand quickly? God spoke to me about something. I want you to mind the Lord. Make the appropriate action. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Last question. Listen, you know what the matter might be for you? It might be salvation. You might not know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. And if you did die, you would go straight to hell. Listen to me. I'm not picking on you, but I'm saying to you that if you're not sure you're going to heaven, you don't need to wait till it's more convenient. You don't need to wait till a better time. You don't need to wait until you're more comfortable. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, you need to get saved today. What's the matter with you? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Just be honest. I'm not going to call your name out. I just want to pray for you. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Be honest. Let's stand together. Lord, would you bless this brief moment of invitation that we have left? Would you honor yourself in the word? In Jesus' name, amen.